I remember the teacher said I had such a great voice. And then, like overnight, my voice dropped a little bit, and then it became what it is. But I can make a joyful noise. And I just want to thank the choir for their special gift of music, because it opens up the heart. It helps us to understand. When they sing and you feel the music, you feel free. Freedom is something that we in America, we truly understand as a people. We are a people born in freedom. We celebrate freedom. There's not a week that goes by, and I hope a day that goes by, that we don't reflect upon the freedom God has given us as a nation. And this morning we're going to talk about what it means to be free, to be a free people. And there's three things that I think we find freedom through. We find freedom through our living. We find it through our giving, and we find it through our loving. And if we can find freedom in those three things, we have true freedom in our life. If we can live as we are called to be a living people, if we can give as we're called to be a giving people, and if we can love as we're called to be a loving people. So in Galatians, in this great book that Paul wrote to the Gauls, as you remember, I shared with you, the Gauls are the white, tall NBA players from that part of the world, just from Croatia and those areas. The Gauls, in fact, are considered just the first Europeans who became Christians. So when Paul wrote the church in Galatians, he wrote these letters. He was writing to a people who were not born into the Jewish custom and tradition of being the chosen people. These were other people who had been invited to be a part of the family now of God, the covenant of God. And he's writing to people that were not born into the idea of freedom. They were born into the idea of slavery. Slavery was a common method of ownership in this ancient world. So when Paul talks about freedom, it's a revolutionary idea. This idea that I can be a free man, I can be a free person, we can have a free society. So when he writes these words, they're incredible words. They're words that move the heart to understand not only us, but understand our relationship that we have with God. So the scripture reads, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You, brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And then he continues in the 22nd verse, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we are to keep in step with the Spirit." Let us pray. Dear Lord, open up our hearts that we may see this battle that is going on between slavery to sin and death and the freedom we have in Christ. Lord, let us know that we are called to be a free people and to live our lives in accordance with that freedom. Let us also understand the cost of this freedom that you paid on the cross. When you gave yourself up for us, you became a ransom for our souls. Lord, we pray that we be a better people today, and we understand truly what it means to be made in your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week has been a monumental week around the world. Our markets have dropped, the stock markets, and around the world people are questioning what happened in this vote that they had in Great Britain. What basically has happened is that the British people have decided by a 52% margin they wanted to be free of the European Union, the EU. Now, we're not going to get into politics this morning and what that means, because I'm an American. I don't really understand it anyway. But I do know I did listen to some of the talks people gave, and they kept referring to freedom. Over and over again, they had made a decision to be free of having someone in Brussels tell them what to do. Now, the truth is, in life, no matter where you go, there's always going to be somebody who's going to be telling you what to do. It's just the way it is. And for us who are happily married, we accept this, as something that is good. And I'm not going any further, because I want lunch and I want supper today. But the fact is that no matter where you go in life, freedom is not what some people think freedom is. Freedom is not what some people, they have an idea it is. Now, when I was a younger man, I was going to Methodist College, I would get into my car, and I was free to take back off to school, and I would take back off, and I would have my 8-track music. You kids don't even know what 8-tracks are, I doubt. But I'd be listening to B.J. Thomas. Oh, he could sing in James Taylor. And some of you don't even know who James Taylor is, but others are already singing, you have Carolina on your mind, and you've seen Fire and Rain. And I'd be going back to school, and I'd have that music turn loud riding down the road. And I don't know why, you know, folks want to roll down their window and celebrate with everybody else their loud music, but I did a little bit, and I'd be playing that. But James Taylor doesn't rattle the house like some of this music today does when they come by. And I'd take off, and I was feeling like I was just free as a bird. My clothes were, they were cleanly washed in the back that my mother had washed for me. I was taken back off to school, to the School of Great Minds. And as soon as I'd get to school, we'd be there, and me and the guys hanging out. What you do? And I didn't do much. Play a little basketball. What'd you do? Oh, I went to the beach. And then the next thing you know, you're in a class with a teacher telling you what to do. That you got to read this book and you got to take this test. And I'm going, I thought I was a free man. And I suddenly find out I've got to actually go to class. I didn't really particularly want to go to class, but I had to finish school. It's one of the basic requirements. If you want to get a college degree, you have to go to class. And that's what I learned there. But this idea of freedom is I had the freedom to go to college, but I wasn't quite free in college like I thought I should be. But for me to become, you know, a graduate of Methodist, I had to fulfill the obligation that freedom it required. Now, as I grew older and I was still, you know, I was independent. I was finished college, happy man. I'm free, got my degree. I can go take on the world, the whole bit. 3 days later, Leona, she catches me. And I'm walking down the aisle down at Sweet Home Baptist Church in Molly, North Carolina. And next thing I know, I said, I do. She said, I do. And we did. And it is. And that's the way it goes. And next thing you know, I'm a married man 4 days out of college. And my freedom was short-lived for that 4 days. And it didn't take long to realize that, you know. You going to take out the garbage? Aren't you going to do that? No, you're going to do that. Yes, ma'am. See, and then you get older and you think, well, I have a child. And the child will just, I can have fun. I can throw the child up in the air. We can go fish like those kids were fishing yesterday. Was there ever any more fun than I saw yesterday with the children fish? They were just fishing away. They didn't catch the art of fishing is whispering to the fish. I kept saying, are you whispering to the fish? And they looked at me like I was crazy. What I was trying to suggest to them is take a nap while you're fishing. Everybody knows that. You just got to just take a nap because the fish, they don't care. But the kids had a good time. And you think you're going to have children. You're going to be free. You can play with them anytime. And you suddenly realize children don't bring any freedom. They bring responsibility. Because you got to feed them, you got to clothe them, you got to educate them, you got to teach them, you got to rear them in the way they're going to go. You got to watch them when they do go, when they break your heart, and you got to watch them when they come back, and you wonder why they come back. See, freedom is not what people think it is. People think it's somehow completely devoid of responsibility or devoid of any sort of sacrifice. They think freedom is something that it means we have no context of relationship. But in reality, freedom is relationship. So Paul is saying to these people who have never been free, The Galatians had never been free. They answered to the big man up in the big house. They answered to the army who was dominating them. They answered to the slave owner who owned part of them. And Paul is saying to them, you need to learn what freedom is so you can celebrate it. Freedom is that Christ has set you free. So we got to look at what has Christ set us free from and for. What has he set us free from? Well, he set us free here in the 19th verse. He talks about all the things Christ has set us free from. Sexual immorality, impurity, it's a debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's a big list. Now, you notice I didn't read that list when I was reading the scripture. Because I'm the top pastor that I like to focus on the light instead of the darkness. I like to share the gospel in the light because guilt is bad enough by itself. But the simple fact about it is that to be free in Christ means we have the power, we have the responsibility, we have the duty to be able to overcome these things that are the basic nature of our humanity, our fallenness, our brokenness, our sinfulness. See, freedom is when we are the better person, not the lesser person. Freedom is not going out to do what we want to do. Freedom is doing what God would have us do. And what does God want us to do? He wants us to do what he wants us to do, which he goes into the list of these things. The fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace and forbearance, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He said, against such things there's no law. He says, those that belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. So we are free to live. What does it mean to live? Living's fun. I can tell you that. I enjoy living. Living's a fun thing. When you think about it, living is a fun thing. You wake up and you see the sun in the morning, you go, man, it's going to be a nice day. I'm going to carpe diem this day. That's a butchered way to say Latin, but a carpe diem, and Miss Debbie Max looking at me going, I can't believe he just said it that way. It means seize the day, doesn't it? It means seize the day. I have a good friend named Dr. Leonard Sweet who wrote a whole book and did a whole study on carpe diem. And every time I'd say it to him, he'd kind of like laugh. Go, how you say that, Jerome? Carpe diem. He said, that sounds like a fish the way you say it. Carpe diem. It means seize the day. It means today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What happens today is the freedom God has given us that today can be the best day of our life. There were some people this past week that went to one of those motivational speaker guys, a Robbins guy, you know, big tall guy, real strong looking guy. Man, he could give a speech, motivate anybody. He motivated all these people to walk across hot coals. Did y'all see this on the news? Oh, he motivated people, and they signed up, and they paid like $1,000 each to get motivated. I tell you the truth, they highly motivated people. I'd love to meet some of those people, you know, willing to pay $1,000 each to get motivated. And as a celebration of their motivation time with him, and I'm not down in him. He's probably a nice guy. He's highly motivated. But the final thing he would have to show to people they were motivated, they had to walk across hot coals. And so all these people who have paid all this money and they've heard this great speech and they're highly motivated and they talking to each other, they start their walk across the hot coals. Well, little did they know that somebody who was in control of the coals, they were getting cold, so they restoked the coals. And the coals weren't the temperature they were supposed to be. They were hotter than they should have been. And so they started walking across. And what people do today, you can't have anybody go anywhere without them taking a selfie. People taking selfies left and right now. Everywhere I turn around, people taking selfies. They always taking selfies. They started taking selfies on hot coals. Don't do that. That's not smart. Because if you take a selfie, you got to stop and smile and go, look. And the coals are cooking your feet. And 20-some of them had to go to the hospital. They got highly motivated to scream and run off the hot coals. They had all the freedom in the world to walk on the hot coals. But as my grandma would say, they didn't have the sense to get off of the hot coals. See, freedom means that we're free to live the way we're supposed to live. And sisters and brothers, freedom is not doing something that's stupid. Freedom is doing something that's smart. And what's smart? Loving the people that are around you, living for what you're called to live for, seizing the day to be the day that this becomes the world you want it to be. The day that you let the curtains up, you let the sun in, you shake the dust out, and you have that spring cleaning, and you have that new day where you seize the day. I love the enthusiasm of young people. Young people got great enthusiasm. They have the ability to say, you know, today I'm going to have fun. Today I want to have a wonderful experience. And I say more power to that freedom. But also understand that freedom comes with the second part of freedom. Isn't just living, but is giving. You cannot be free until you give what God would have you give. The truth is, Paul is saying that we need to stand firm then and do not let ourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. In other words, we need to give up the things that are hindering us, things that are holding us back, things that are keeping us from our destination. Now, that's a hard thing to do, to let go of baggage. I can tell you that. But being a preacher in Methodism, you know, this week is moving week. There's preachers across the conference on Tuesday. If you see a moving van, it's probably a Methodist preacher and their family in tow that are moving. The truth is, you learn when you move what you're going to give up and what you're going to keep. Now, I had an uncle one time who had a rule that if he didn't use anything after 2 months, he would throw it away. I thought that was the silliest rule in the world. Because I think certain things are good to keep, and that's the way it should be. We should look at stuff to a certain way, but we also need to realize some things we need to move on from, some ways we need to move away from. See, freedom is what do we give so we can receive. Now I'm going to let you in on the little thing that pastors know. There's times in our life that we need God to give us things. When we're suffering a loss, a death in the family, a sorrow, a sadness, a troubled time. We beseech God, we ask God, we pray, Lord, help me. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Give us this day our daily bread. But there's also times in your life that you must give from your heart. Give time to a young person can change their life forever. Take them fishing. And it can change their whole world. Because the thing about it is, people remember. People understand these things. So when you give of yourself, you're giving the greatest gift there can be. When I talked to Pastor Terry yesterday, when he was here and we were in the office talking, he was saying these are hard times, and I said they are. And he said he's seen them too in his ministry. And I said, well, this is part of the ministry we're called to. And he said, sometimes I don't know what to say. And I said, Terry, sometimes you just don't say anything. You're just there. I mean, I go in with a mother whose daughter has just died, and she's only 18 years old, and she's collapsed on the bedroom floor, that daughter crying, holding the baby picture of her daughter. And I go into the room and the husband's there, and I didn't go in there with a lecture or a diatribe or some belief system or telling her to grow into spiritual strength. I just got down on the floor and I just wept beside her. I didn't know what else to do. What can you say when somebody's life has been changed in such a way? See, freedom is knowing what to let go of. Pride is a bad thing. Pride is what leads to fall of man. We start to think we're more than we are. It's just like what's going on in Britain right now. All these people going, I didn't think they were going to vote us out. I can't believe they're even suggesting now they have a re-vote. Well, let's just keep voting until they get it right. You know. Lord have mercy. These people don't understand freedom like we do in America. Freedom means that you vote and you live by the consequences of that. And if it's bad, you make the best of it. If it's good, you make even better of it. See, freedom is accepting what God has given us and then making the most out of it in every possible way we can. See, I believe if you're going to do business, you make every doggone dollar you can make. And then you give every dollar you can give. I believe if you're going to pray, you pray and you pray till you sweat. And then you wait for the blessings to come rolling in on your life. I say seize the day and seize the giving opportunity God has given. And I guarantee you, everything you give to God, He multiplies back to you. It always happens. It's a miracle when it happens. It's incredible the way it happens. And there's no formula for this. There's no formula for this. This isn't the lottery. This isn't a government now that's sanctioning things that we shouldn't be doing. It used to be in America, the American dream was to have a good job, to have a good spouse, to have a house, and have a car, and have children. That used to be the American dream. The American dream now is to win the lottery. I want to win the lottery. And how many have dreamed about winning the lottery? And you always, I mean, it happens. We look at that billboard, it says $333 million. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. And in your daydream, I know you're daydreaming, because I do. I'm going to give part of that to my children. Oh, I'm going to divide this section over here and give it to them and give it to that. And give some more over here. It's amazing how we're so free to give with stuff we don't have. Instead of giving with what we do have. See, that's why I have concerns about the different political systems we have in our life. It's easy to spend somebody else's money. I worked at the jurisdiction. We would talk about the budget and different things according to the budget. And I was the only one to sit at the table determining these ministries that would say, and I said it many times to the different ones, I would say, I've been there. I know where this money comes from. Well, Jerome, where does it come from? It comes from that little lady of that little church that I used to serve. So let's be careful how we spend this dollar. And I can tell you for a fact that the system, it used to try to figure out ways to spend money that they didn't earn. See, the simple fact about it is when you are called to give, and then you let God hold you to the point of love and responsibility. And then finally, the way that we understand freedom is to love, when we're able to love people. It's a bad thing to hate people. It's a bad thing to find fault with people. It only leads to things that are bad. It leads to people with envy and just dissension and factions and selfish ambitions. I've seen some sad things in my life. I've seen people blow their lives completely up because they can't get past the point that they hate somebody. Sisters and brothers, do not let hate burden you down. Do not let it burden you down. There's enough hate in this world as it is. I don't think people realize. I don't think Europe realizes. It was only a few years ago they were in a world war that millions of people died. I was reading the other day about Auschwitz and the death camp that Germany had and all the people that got killed in that camp. And there were 1.5 million people killed in that one camp. Hatred is a terrible thing. Sisters and brothers, as a nation, we're not called to be a nation that hates people. We're called to be a nation that loves people, but also holds people to the freedom for what it means. See, our freedom was earned in blood. It was earned in wars. It was earned in brother fighting against brother. In America, we understand the freedom. We understand the freedom. What other nation has done what we have done? We won the second war and we gave Japan back to the Japanese. We gave Europe back to the Europeans. We didn't take over like some dominant empire because we're not built that way. We're a different type of people. We're built on the idea of freedom. And the simple fact about it is that freedom only comes comes through Christ. It doesn't come through a government or through a law or through some statement of belief. It comes through Christ. The reason we are the people we are is that Christ Jesus has made us that. And if our nation turns his back on this truth, God will take this mantle away from it and he will give it to someone else. Paul is saying Christ has set us free, so the Christian should seize every day and say, today is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to be a good man. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to do what God would have me do. I'm going to leave the darkness and go into the light. Do not let the things of this earth grab hold of you and chain you and think they forever lock you into an orbit of destruction. It's like I said at that cemetery yesterday with all those people gathered around me right over there. I said it with all those people gathered around me. I looked at them and I said, this is what it's all about. We're the only faith. We're the only religion. We're the only philosophy that teaches there's more than this grave. The rest of them don't have any clue what's going to happen. But we know because Jesus left that grave and he showed us the way to heaven. And he said, I'm doing this not because I can, but because you need to be free. You need to be free of this death and sin that's holding on to you and clinging to you. You need to be freed from this tyranny of oppression by evil and the darkness. You need to be freed. So I'm going to break the bonds of this. You can't do it. Your technology can't do it. Your knowledge can't do it. Your understanding can't do it. I'm the only way you're ever going to break free, Jesus said. And he did it. He went to the tomb. He went to the grave. He died and he rose again to make the way for us to rise again. So when we as Christians die, we don't hang our head and be sad and think it's the end of days and there's no hope and we mourn forever with ashes and sackcloth and think somehow there's no hope for us. We're not a people bound by this. We're free. By God, we are free. And right now, there are free people who are watching over us. There are angels that are surrounding this sanctuary and looking at you in your life saying, why you doing this to yourself? Let go of this thing. You don't know how close it is. You got to let go and believe in God. That's why I'm a happy man. I was born where I was born. I'm a happy man that my family has fought the wars and they have been a people who have held to this freedom, because I'll tell you, it's the only thing I got. It's the only thing I truly am able to totally accept and say, Lord, your way. Your way. That's what Paul is saying. Since we live by the Spirit, we are to keep in step with the Spirit. And I can tell you, you know, when you're out of step with the Spirit, bad things happen. Now, people say bad things happen all the time. They do. But when bad things happen to a good person, God is with them. Who can be against them? I've been through deeper valleys, but those valleys didn't define me. It was the relationship with my God who walked with me through those valleys and sometimes carried me through those valleys. See, if there's signals going off that you know of that someone is out of step, you got to get them singing the right song. And once they sing that right song, they'll get right in step. They'll start marching, and then we'll march together into Zion, singing the same song. And that song's going to be in heaven. We will be completely free. But we will still bow down to him. And that's what true freedom is. Because if you don't bow down to him, you're bowing down to a lesser God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, open up our hearts that we may grow into this freedom you call us to, that we may be free in the lives we live, the way we give, and the love we share. Lord, thank you for this church and for the gospel that permeates it, for this spring of living water. Bless these people. Bless this community. Bless this nation. Lord, bless the world. I pray in this century we do not go through the sorrows that we did in the past century. But I know too, it will not be won on an election. It'll only be won in the heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.